Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation. Welcome to the program. I figured I would awaken the baseball fans to the fact that they're living in a sinking ship called the USS America. Let's pray it stays the US America and not the USSR of America. Mexico is in the news. Headline on Drudge Report, US partners with Mexico to boost food stamp rolls. Food stamp rolls, are they as good as sushi rolls? What is a food stamp roll? Does it have... What kind of crab meat is it? Is it crab meat? Is it chicken? Is it fish? What do you mean food stamp rolls? You mean Obama's sending food stamp rolls to Mexico? No. It means that Obama is so mad to destroy the economy even further. He is so crazy to flood America with illegal aliens that he's boosting food stamp participation by Mexicans. And he's working with the government of Mexico to do so. Would you expect something different from a man who has had a long-standing animus towards the United States of America? Now, I know John McCain would disagree with me. I recognize that John McCain would say, no, he's a nice man who has a nice family, who simply has a disagreement with him on how to run America. Well, John, you should know better. You fought the communists in Vietnam. Let's pray to God that they didn't get to you during the interrogation and turn you into a Manchurian candidate, because you always seem to take the other side. And this goes all the way back to Vietnam. It does happen to people. It's called the Stockholm Syndrome. But in case of Obama, to stick to the main point here, I don't think he has the Stockholm Syndrome. I think he has the Frank Marshall Davis Syndrome. That's for those of you who know what I'm talking about. But I don't really want to talk about that. I'd like to talk about things such as the Hasidic King of Coke, or From Riches to Rags on the Savage Nation, or What I Ate for Lunch. Because I'll tell you the truth, I've decided that living well is the best revenge. Despite all of the bullets that come flying at you, meaning the things that come at you in life, sickness, at the end of the day, there's something stronger within you, and you shall overcome. And the best answer is to live well, because that is the best revenge. So today, for example, it's a beautiful day in the San Francisco area, I'm sorry to tell you. It is one of the reasons that I stay here, why real estate is still so expensive. It's not that the people are so wonderful, or nor is it so true that the architecture is so great. It's that the weather is the best in the United States of America. And so today I came into San Francisco. I broadcast from various and sundry places around the Bay Area and in Florida and in Los Angeles. I move around like the peripatetic roadster that I am. The peripatetic roadster, Michael Savage. Today, the roadster took me over the Golden Gate Bridge to a fabulous San Francisco, dodging all of those with trailers. It's tourist season. You could see the lineup on the Golden Gate Bridge. God bless them, whatever. Parked the car. I have Teddy with me today. He loves riding the elevator. We go up to North Beach. I ate outdoors on the street at the North Beach restaurant. And there it was. There was the lineup, the illegal aliens from China marching into the Northeast Medical Services building on Stockton Street in plain sight of the FBI, in plain sight of the California State Attorney General's office. It is a Medicaid mill. Everyone laughs about it on the street. Every man I talk to knows it's a Medicaid mill. They fly him in from China and bring him right into the Medicaid mill. Young, old. We don't know how many billions of dollars a year go in and out of that clinic. But since I have no control over it any more than I had any control over the Fort Hood massacre, you see, that came out today, that the FBI knew that Nidal Hassan was a ticking time bomb, but they wouldn't stop him because they were afraid of offending Muslims. They were afraid of offending Arabs. So the FBI looked the other way, and the rest is history. 13 people killed by Nidal Hassan, 33 shot by Nidal Hassan, and the FBI has egg all over its vest. Egg all over its bulletproof vests. But does that stop them? No. I can guarantee you that the FBI is still following politically insane rules of engagement. This is a country that seems to be unable to govern itself. A president that partners with Mexico to boost food stamp rolls. An FBI that is more concerned about returning war veterans than about internal enemies. A TSA that would rather frisk a nun in a wheelchair than a Muslim with a time bomb on his back. That's the country we're living in. And so what can I do about it? All I can do is talk about it. That doesn't seem to change anything. In fact, it's gotten worse. So that's why I said I'll take a salad with plenty of onions, a Diet Coke because I have to do a radio show in 2 hours, and give Teddy a grilled chicken breast, no salt or pepper. So as we watched the parade of those going in and out of the Medicaid mill next to the North Beach restaurant, Teddy enjoyed his chicken, I enjoyed my salad and pasta, and the world moved on and on and on. This is the Savage Nation. I'd like to talk about the following topic on the Savage Nation. I saw a show last night called, I like to watch Locked Up Abroad. It's a Nat Geo show, and they show Americans who were drug dealers who got caught and go into bad prisons. Now, I'm pretty sure most of the stories are made up or fictionalized, but they're very well done. This one was the story of a religious Jew, a Hasid, black coat, with the payas, probably a Sitmar Hasid, because the Lubavitch don't have the payas on the side, the long hair on the side. This was a Satmar Hasid, who used his religious garb to help him smuggle drugs from South America into Belgium. And it was back in the 80s or 90s. He gets caught, and he gets sent to a bad prison in Sao Paulo. And it's one story after another. Very well done. Very good, whether it's fiction or not. But the point is that he said he got away with smuggling the cocaine in the early days because of his religious garb. Because he wore the black cloak of religion, he was let through customs in and out of the country. You see what I'm saying? So it led me to believe, in America today, who do you think is using their religious garb to get away with virtual terrorism and murder or drug smuggling? We know that at the TSA, if you're a nun, you get frisked. If you're from the Middle East and you have religious garb that depicts anything to do with Islam, not only are you ushered through, you're given a chauffeured ride through TSA security. Have you seen those wearing religious clothing today get light treatment at airport security? Yes. Have you lost your faith because of a scam perpetrated by someone within your own religion? Yes. I'd like to hear those stories. I'd like to hear about those stories in your life, those you know who've used their religion or religious garb as part of a scam, whether it be food stamps. You can hold your names back. Now, and there's another story I want to talk about. Anything but Obama today. I don't want to talk about factory activity being down. I don't want to talk about the drought being up. I don't want to talk about foreclosures being up. I don't want to talk about Obama being down and Romney being upped. I want to talk about these topics. I saw another story, which I posted on my website, of British drug-addicted billionaires who had a $100 million London mansion but died in a filthy drug den they set up in their mansion. Police busted the man for drug possession and found the remains of his addicted wife in an upstairs bedroom of their house. She'd been dead for weeks. Billionaires dead from crack addiction. Do you know of someone who inherited money and ended badly? Do you know anyone who's gone from riches to rags? Is there a certain type of personality that's unable to handle great wealth? How can a parent prepare a child to inherit a large amount of money as an adult? Answer, they can't. Does great wealth assuage or enhance character flaws? These are very important questions because I always made my children work. I'll be very frank. I had no money at the time. I thought that one day I might. I thought one day I would hope to. But even from the time they were young, I inculcated in my children the fact that they had to work. In fact, in the case of my son, when he was 13 years old, I made him go to work in Burger King in San Rafael, California. He had to take a bus there. It was horrible. His friends were very, very, they laughed at him. Are you kidding? Your father's making you take a bus to work in Burger King? And he went to work like a good little soldier. And you know what? He turned out better than all of his friends put together. I'm not putting them down. I love his friends. But I inculcated the work ethic in my children from a very young age. And I'd like to know what you do to insulate your children from the potential disasters of over-coddling them. Because it's an important story. 1-800-449-8255 went over like, so the Hasidic King of Coke, a zero job. From riches to rags, a zero. TSA, zero. It's like a blast out now. It's like, I got to bail out of this plane. So shall I change the topics for you? None of these appeal to you? Well, what can we talk about? Teddy, what he ate for lunch? 1-800-449-8255, nothing. Nothing like a zero. Okay, look, people are burned out. I understand that. What else would you like to talk about? Topofmichaelsavage.com. Fort Hood report shows FBI blinded by political correctness. Shocking. I'm shocked to learn that. I'm shocked to believe that the FBI would turn their eyes from a potential terrorist because he was an Arab Muslim. I'm just shocked. I just can't believe that. Bulgaria, suspected suicide bomber in Israel, in Bulgaria, killing the Israelis, had fake Michigan ID. It came out later today that he was released from Gitmo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's new, too. Oh, yeah, all you good liberals, you just killed the Jews in Bulgaria. Chalk one up on your mantelpiece. All you happy liberals, you just accounted for the death of more Jews, this time in Bulgaria, because you were so concerned about the treatment of the poor Muslims at Gitmo. They're being mistreated. That's why they're gaining weight, playing soccer. They have virtually everything, including color television. But that's not good enough for you liberals. You need them released because they're not really terrorists. Well, you released one of them, and he set off a bomb on a bus and killed seven innocent Jews in Bulgaria. So now you have their blood on your hands. Go vote for Obama now. And don't say I didn't tell you. Go ahead. Go vote for Obama. So what are they calling about? Gave money to none. She was a scammer. Arab, says TSA. Oh, really? Anderson, New York, WOR. You're an Arab yourself? Anderson, are you there on the Savage Nation calling from WOR? Gone. Great call screening. Can someone wake Doug up, slap him around, and give him some cold water compresses on his head? Doug, hello? Doug, the show started around 18 minutes ago. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Back, moving up 30 years in the music department. We're getting up to the 80s now, a little disco. Play the disco music. Give them some disco. Wake them up out there. They're schwitzing in New York. They're sweltering. Horrible. Horrible. Anyone who has money left the city yesterday. You could take New York right now. $68 million for a penthouse. You could die the minute you walk out. You can't breathe the air. I love the city. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the city, but I mean, this time, who stays there? It's well known no one stays there in the summer. Even the poor used to go to the Catskills. Then they all moved to San Francisco and tried to pretend that they weren't from New York. They developed California accents. You know, they leave New York. They try to hide their accent. I never hid my accent. Why? I never thought about it. I never consciously thought I should hide my New York accent. So it turns out now I'm one of the last people on earth who speaks with a New York accent. No one in New York sounds like me. It's shocking. I went there. No one sounded like they were from New York. How does that work? I was in New York. Nobody sounds like they're from New York. They're all from everywhere else. The real New Yorkers live in Sacramento. They're in Big Elk, Montana, in witness protection, running a pizzeria in Big Elk. Imagine the guy's name like Fuzio in Big Elk. What are you doing? Oh, no, I figured I'd open a pizzeria. I got tired of the weather. So that's where all the FBI get their pizza. Wherever you see like black cars with guys with big black shoes eating pizza in the middle of nowhere, you can pretty much figure out the rest of that story. 1-800-449-8255 from riches to rags, the Hasidic King of Coke. Those are some of the topics. What else is in the news? Beards? No. A CBS New York Times poll shows that Romney is ahead of Obama in the polls. Up, down. He is. He's moving ahead. It is interesting. That's very interesting. George Zimmerman said that the shooting of Trayvon Williams was God's plan. Very smart move that was. You know, there's a certain point where you just keep your mouth shut. Who advised this one? I mean, you go talk to a dummy like that. What do you think's going to happen? You talk to Wallbanger. What do you think's going to happen? You're going to screw your life up. He goes on Wallbanger's show, and Wallbanger seduces him to saying that it was God's will to kill Trayvon Williams. That should really help him with the jury. Good job, Wallbanger. You really did him a favor. Oh, I'm a real conservative. Yeah, I'm a real conservative. Just remember this, folks. Never forget the saying, Big Sisyphus wants you. Big Sisyphus wants you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to New York City. Tony, fire away. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Mike, I think when it comes to wealth and your children and their work ethic, it's all set by the parents. Your children are a mirror image of you.
I believe that that is true to a certain extent, but you see, there's a danger in that because you can do the best thing in the world and this and that, and that can still turn bad. You can't blame yourself. On the other hand, Tony, if you're very lucky and they become very successful, you shouldn't glow in their success and say you did it either. I have a very different, almost Zen philosophy about children, which is you do the best you can. You're going to make 100,000 mistakes a year, and you pray for the best because you don't really know how it's going to work out. However, there are certain things you can do that are going to, let's say, increase the possibility that they'll work out in life, and that would be putting them to work very young at part-time jobs. Certainly, don't go along with their they-don't-have-to-work number because they'll never amount to anything.
Yeah, true, but if you're a thief and your children and your child knows you're a thief, chances are your kid's going to be a bigger thief than you are.
Well, is that always true? How do you account for that one kid becomes a cop and one becomes a crook? And a good cop, okay? Let's not say cops are crooks now. You know there are many stories like that out of the old days, right?
Oh, of course. The families.
Well, let's put it another way. Say one becomes a priest, one becomes a criminal. Say, well, all priests are bad. You can't jump to that conclusion. Nor can you say all criminals are bad. Actually, there's some nice criminals, actually probably more trustworthy than some lawyers.
Yeah, they hold the door open for you.
They are. They hold the door open for the women and the men. So did you raise children? What did you do to give yourself a step up on them not winding up drug-addicted bums?
Well, I went to work, and my wife was a stay-at-home mom.
But did that work out for you?
Excuse me?
Thank you for the call. In other words, both children wound up in Sing Sing. He didn't want to. All right, that happened. He didn't finish it, so I'm a little worried. Could be, God forbid, who knows? One in Dannemora for a 1-3 and...
7.
No, I don't like it. Turn it off. I'm not into it. No, I'm driving lately. I'm playing 80s disco. I moved up by 30 years in the music department. Somehow I think of who's the actor who with the massage recently? A lot of massage with the guys. They dropped John. I feel bad for John Travolta. So he has an inclination in that direction. Who cares? But every time I think of disco, I think of Don Travolta. I call him Don, you call him John, whatever. I think of Don Travolta in Saturday Night Live. I don't know why. And I liked him in L.A. Confidential, if he was in it. I'm not quite sure. My favorite actor? One of the favorite of that era is Ben Gazzara, died recently. You want to hear one of the great sleeper movies of all time? I'm talking to you like I'm in a cafe right now. I'm sick and tired of politics for a minute. Give me a break already with the Obama, Romney, Obama, Boomer, Aberdeen. I can't take it anymore. I'd rather talk about what's on my mind. Pasta, the dog, meatballs. You know what I'm saying? How to raise children, keep them from becoming bums the best you can. You know anyone from gone from riches to rags? What happened? Everyone wants to hear the other man's tragedy. It makes them feel better. You know anyone who inherited money and wound up a bum? That they want to hear. It'll make them feel better today. Where was I before I got distracted? I forgot. But I was talking about Don Travolta. In the 80s disco music. No, the thing is, it's very pleasant to drive. It's a rhythm. If you play disco while driving a car, let's say a reasonable 60 miles an hour on a highway, it creates a certain rhythm. The dog likes it. I get depressed listening to piano concertos. If I tune around on the radio dial for various things, I jump from AM, FM to the Marine Weather Band. It's an interesting symphony that I play. Sometimes I'm driving in and I play a talk show host. I can take about a minute. A minute is all I can take. I have no idea what they're talking about. I swear to God, I listen to another talk show host. I don't know what. How can you listen day and night about Obama and Romney, Obama, Rama, ding dong? So I turn it off and I switch to FM. Then I go to disco music or hard rock. Then I jump from hard rock The worst part of radio is when the disc jockeys try to get clever. Oh, boy, should they never go off script. They sound like Obama when he drops the teleprompter. So when they do that, when the disc jockeys jump from the music to, like, trying to get human and talk, you have no idea how bad it is. I turn to the weather band. I listen to the marine forecast, which is pleasant. Microsoft reports first ever quarterly loss. Can you figure this one out? Weak online ad business and an accounting adjustment. They took a $6.2 billion charge because they bought an online ad service for $6.3 billion and it didn't pay off. So what, he's losing his touch? Another one losing his touch? Who knows? He's got plenty. It wouldn't matter. Did anyone see the segment Locked Up Abroad with the Hasidic King of Coke? I thought it was very well done. I don't believe it. I don't think it was true. It's like another reality show that's fake. They show the guy back in the 80s. He was smuggling coke like crazy. He became a coke king because he was wearing the religious garb. Then he got nailed and he put in the jail in Sao Paulo. So within a couple of days, a guy tries to stab him to death with a knife. Little Jewish guy with payas. Then all of a sudden he says, the guy didn't know what I could do with my hands. But because I was a little kid in Brooklyn, my father sent me to Aikido. And it shows him twisting this big murderer in a Sao Paulo prison with a 9-inch blade, twisting him around on his knife and saying, let it go, let it go. And if you don't, and he dropped him down and the knife went through his stomach and came out his back. Ooh, I can't believe that. You really believe that story? So all the reality shows are fake. It's all fake. Even the how many locked up abroad people? You're supposed to have sympathy for drug dealers? That's the one paradox of the Nat Geo used to be great in the old days. All they had were topless women from, you know, like from the third world and like glaciers and kangaroos. You were able to like look at, you know, in junior high school, you made believe you're interested in glaciers and geology. Were you looking at it? So it was softcore porn. It was always softcore porn, Nat Geo, in some ways. How do you think they built the business up? It was like allowed. You were allowed to look. Look, guys did that, whether you want to know it or not. So now Nat Geo is suddenly the earth's coming to an end. Either the Mayan calendar or a comet's about to hit. Every night the world's coming to an end. The sea's going to rise. It's going to swamp Al Gore's ranch in Tennessee. Tipper's going to have to get a new canoe. It's going to be Tippy Canoe and Tyler 2. Every day another fright job on Nat Geo. The latest thing is the Locked Up Abroad. How many stories are made up today? Every one of those stories are not real. Do you believe them? But it's everyone's worst nightmare. Everyone in the first world is afraid of winding up in a jail in the third world. So it taps into your core fear of the nightmare that could occur to you, right? You know you couldn't survive in a jail like that. How could you survive there? You couldn't even survive in a prison here. There's certain ways. I had a guy on. You remember that guy who came on the show years ago from Marin County? I'm not going to mention names. He was a mortgage guy, and he got caught as a fraudster 20 years ago. Put him in San Quentin. I had him on the show. I said, how did you survive in San Quentin? He came on this show, nice guy, really nice guy, did his time, and he said, I befriended the biggest guy in jail. I said, well, what did you have to offer him? And he said, I offered him the ability to read law books and write letters on his behalf, and as a result, I was protected, which is very interesting. I don't know that still goes on, but everyone listening to the show probably in the back of their mind knows that the government, being what it is, you're only one breath away from being arrested for something, living in the police state that we live in. We live in a crypto police state. Everyone listening to this show knows that this government is so oppressive, federal, state, and local, that or you're a breath away from being arrested for nothing. Nothing. Trumped up charges, real charges, fake charges. We're all terrified of the police state. And the prisons are used basically as a weapon to frighten everybody. You know the prison population is disproportionate to the actual crimes. You know that the drug war is a failure. You know that when we have over 1 million people incarcerated in this country, something is wrong with a so-called democracy, which we're not, when you have 1 million people incarcerated. It's insanity. And that leads us to the next. Well, what's this? The 1 million people are in jail. They smoked 3 joints in 1973 and they're still in prison while it's legalized across the country with the fake, medical marijuana laws. It's insanity. So there's a lot of problems here and everyone's afraid of the prison system. And you hear it from both sides. The prison unions lobby the legislators within and they don't want to change the laws. And you hear both sides of the law. So what do you want to talk about in the sound? Oh, the movie. I got that distracted. I'm getting bad ADD today. It's like a bad ADD day because I should have had more protein for breakfast. I skip breakfast. I'm like having a slight ADD-like reaction on the radio. Because I'm famous for the stream of consciousness. What you don't know is it's probably a disorder of some kind. That if you're really a normal American, you have no capacity for a stream of consciousness. In fact, the tremendous ability with a stream of consciousness is the mark of some kind of mental disorder. A good American thinks about one thing at a time and sticks to it for at least 6 hours a day in like a moat in the mire, stuck in your cubicle, thinking only of your job or whatever. But I could never do that. I always felt confined by thinking. I felt confined by religion. I felt confined by no religion. I felt confined by hippies. I felt unconfined by hippies. I felt confined by parents. I felt unconfined by parents. I felt confined by my parents' death. Then I felt unconfined by my parents' death. I felt confined by the cemetery. Then I felt unconfined by the cemetery. I feel confined by religious people. Then I feel unconfined by religious people. Isn't that wonderful? To have a fluid mind like this. So what I was trying to tell you is I saw a great movie, a little piece of it, the last 5 minutes, which are the best, amongst the best. Ben Gazzara, The Killing of a Chinese Bookie, one of the most amazing films ever made. John Cassavetes directed. But Ben Gazzara and Cassavetes were an amazing combination. You know that movie? Don't call about it, but try to catch that one. I've recommended a few movies in my life. The Killing of a Chinese Bookie. Ben Gazzara plays a small Los Angeles nightclub owner, seedy club, a couple of strippers, a guy who has a top hat, who's, you know, Mr. Sophisticate, who tells the bad jokes, like a burlesque house kind of, but it's set in the 70s, right? And he gets into some gambling debt to some Chinese triad, and he is given the option of either being whacked himself or killing a Chinese bookie. And the whole movie is about this ordinary night. He's an ordinary, like, club owner. He's not a killer. But he's got his back up against the wall, so he chooses to live rather than to die. So the whole movie is how he's going to get over the fence, through the bodyguards, and kill this guy. It's such an amazingly well-crafted movie. And if you're like me, I like street scenes when it was filmed with real cameras before video. Nothing against video, because it's amazing. HD cameras are astounding. But there's something about the film quality, Sunset Boulevard, blah, blah. So how he goes, gets over the gates, and the girls, before the Silicon, the girls, you know, it was like women before Silicon are in that movie. That's like a pre-Silicon, P.S. So it was like women, P.S., pre-Silicon. That's a good part of the movie. Ben Gazzara has to be one of the, you want to use the word cool? Ben Gazzara was the epitome of cool. He actually was on a level of Frank Sinatra, incidentally. And in this movie, he plays such a smooth guy. There's not a blip in it. I wish to God I could do it. It's like my thing is coming up September 22nd, and I'm going to ask you about that. I'm not sure I want to do it. It's like booked. I have to do it now. I don't know if I want to do it. I have ambivalence towards it. Should I do it? Will you attend? Won't you attend? I know it'll be sold out at the Marin Veterans Auditorium September 22nd. I'm pretty sure it'll be sold out, but like 90 minutes I'm going to stand up there and entertain you? I don't know if I could do that. I'm a radio host. Radio is different than stand-up. In other words, I'm used to talking for 10, 12 minutes of spritz, and then I go to a break. I also have callers. What am I going to do with you for 90 minutes? So that's the interesting thing. How do I do the breaks? There's no breaks. Now, I've done live performances, the greatest stress on earth. I really admire entertainers, I'll tell you the truth. Forget their politics. I don't know how they do it. Well, they're coked up, or they're on crack. There's no other explanation for someone who can stand up for 60 minutes and make a fool of himself. Without committing suicide immediately thereafter. I mean, you can't do it on a ham sandwich and sushi. So something's fueling a guy who can do it for 60, 90 minutes. It's a pretty rough operation. 1-800-449-8255. As you can see, I gave you a machine gun approach to talk radio. I've given you about 3,000 topics. Any one of them is potentially a call. Any one of those topics could have touched somebody in the audience in some manner. And I'm glad I did. Now, Teddy is asleep under my feet. He had chicken today, grilled chicken up at the North Beach restaurant out there in the sun. I had a salad and the pasta with the best marinara sauce. Finally, they got it right. Me and my sauces, my God, Maron, you. Every day is another story with me and sauce. It's not good. It's not like yesterday. How come it wasn't? Why'd you change it? I didn't change it. It's the same. How come you added? Oh, the guitarist is here again today? I'll be right back.
Savage.
I don't know. Is there something wrong with me? I feel good. What's wrong with me? I should not feel good. You've got communism raging across the land from the White House to the outhouse. I feel good. I don't understand it. I had a good time today. I fed the dog chicken. He liked it. I had to give him a bath when I got back from the walk. Oh, I got a new HD video, you know, camera. So I was walking in the streets of San Francisco. I did my tour talking into the camera. His favorite buildings, favorite alleys, favorite scenes. The Transamerica Tower, certain parks, certain statues. The great statue of Georgia O'Keeffe by Marisol. Very few people know it's there. The incredible piece of sculpture by of the Pelican by Benny Bufano. I mean, there's some great art in the streets of San Francisco. I don't think people even know who these artists are. And then the scenes that I see. One day I'll, you know, put them on my internet, on my michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers. Bob in North Carolina, welcome to the program.
Mike, how you doing? Live performances, you got to get your energy from the crowd. I'm 50 years old. I do a three-hour show 3-4 nights a week, and you got to get your feedback and your energy from the crowd.
That's very interesting. So the crowd itself feeds you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is why famous actors will do live performances, for the electricity of the audience?
Sure. And, you know, they're like a dog. You know, they can tell if you're afraid or you're timid or you're nervous. They can tell that immediately. So, you know, you give them back, you get what you give, you know. And
that's why Kettle One was invented.
Yes. But I enjoy it. And once you get that feeling, there's no other feeling like that feedback.
Well, you see, I do remember my days of the live performances, and my audience loves me. 2,000 people. Remember, these are big audiences in a single theater. And when I come out and I see the roar and see the faces and the love for me, it does throw an energy into you, and it does set you off into a whole different trajectory of energy. You're right. I forgot about it.
It's like an addiction, you know. You get to where you there's nothing that replaces that feeling, you know.
So the high you get off the audience doesn't burn you out?
No, I mean, every once in a while, you know, you don't feel good, you don't feel like going out, but sometimes, you know, once you get out there and you get that feedback, it brings you back up to pace.
I got to tell you this, I do radio, right, every day, and I do get a similar feeling, not the same because there's nobody in the room with me but the dog. But the thing is I have reached a point where my audience, like you're talking to me, you're as real to me as a relative in a room. Do you know that?
Right. I feel the same way when I listen to you, so that's awesome.
That's beautiful. Thanks for the call. Now, he just touched the raw nerve. I was told from the first week or so that I began radio, some of the top people in the industry, I mean, guys who have been around a long time, not performers now, guys who own station groups, they said to me, I have the uncanny ability to come out of the speaker and grab people and pull them in. They said they've never encountered anyone who can reach out from a speaker and pull people into the speaker no matter where they are. Now, where I got that from, I don't know. But the thing is that I do feel my audience. Another big industry leader said, Savage, you're one of the only ones in the industry who actually listens to callers to what they're saying and responds to them in a real manner. The rest just are blowing them off and using Miss Filler. And I think that does account for the phenomenal, you know, sustainability of the show, to use a PC word. You know, this is like a long-running performance of 18 years. How much longer it will go on is up to God, not up to me. But it's been 18 years. What a run this has been. It's like a Broadway one-man show that's run for 18 years. That's a phenomenon, isn't it? Santa Maria, well, I don't know where to go. Locked up abroad, have to be a parent, little Teddy. What is a normal day of a savage life? That's a good one. Aaron in Fresno, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just thought it would be great to see a day in the life of Michael Savage. Just, you know, going to work.
You don't want to know it. You don't want to know a normal day of, like, a Michael Savage. You should only limit it to the radio that you hear.
It would be entertaining.
You don't want to know it. The law with the worst people on the planet. Vultures, the vermin, the anti-Americanism exposed for what they are. But what good is that going to do me? I don't seek vengeance. I seek justice. So that's how a good portion of my day is spent. It'll all be over soon. Sends catheters. That's all I can say. God sees the truth and sends catheters. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What is a day in the life of Michael Savage? I wake up at dawn. First light, I'm up. I can't sleep. I'm on a natural rhythm. I don't care when I go to sleep. If light creeps in through the curtains, I'm up. Okay, that's it. Then you got only 6 in the morning, sometimes 5:45. I look ahead to the show. It's like 9 hours later. It's the old Lenny Bruce joke. Yeah, I always get up 19 hours before a show. It's unbelievable. If you get up at 6 a.m. and my show goes on 3 p.m. on the West Coast, that's 9 hours till showtime. Now, that's like you getting up, if you have a job that starts at 9 a.m., it'd be like you getting up 3 o'clock, what, midnight for your 9 a.m. job? It's too early. So my whole cycle's off. And that the reason is that I go to sleep too early. I lead too normal a life. I'm like a monk. Basically, I live for radio. And so I should be up till 3 in the morning partying at a nightclub in L.A. with Ben Gazzara's ex-girlfriends. But the thing is I'm not, because then I wouldn't be able to get up in the morning at all. So I don't do that. So here we are. I'm a workhorse. I'm a work ethic guy. I've been working since I'm 5. And that's what's kept me. Frankly, that's why I think it's why I'm still sane. Whatever's left of me that's perfectly sane is because I've been working since I'm 5 years old. The truth is. And I'm lucky so far. I got to tell you, it could happen tomorrow. Who knows what could happen? But every time I go to a doctor, like a new doctor, the nurse says to me, and what medications are you on? None. It's like the head snaps. What? What surgeries have you had? Tonsils removed when I was 5. What? Yes, still lucky. Can't be. How's that possible? The only explanation I have for this, given my genetic inheritance, which wasn't the great, the only explanation is that somebody up there likes me and my enemies shall all be defeated and I shall win. That's all. It's happened. Everyone who has stood in my way and tried to destroy me has been destroyed by their own evil. Everyone in my whole life. And so I have the faith that God loves me, and I have the faith that God will expose the false Christians amongst us.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm a proud American, borders, language, culture. I'm not a citizen of the world. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. How about you? We're talking about various and sundry topics from riches to rags. But here's a big one. For weeks, the Democrats have been screaming that Mitt Romney should release his tax returns. Well, as you know, turnabout is fair play. Some people started to scream that Nancy Pelosi should release her tax returns. So today, she downplayed her tax return demand. Facing questions about why Pelosi and other top congressional officials won't release their tax returns, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, D. California, downplayed her previous demands for presumptive GOP nominee Romney to release his, calling the issue a distraction. What you may not know is that only 17 of 535 members of the House of Congress released their tax returns when asked. So to single out Romney, as you well know, was an attempted trick by the Dems. But today, Pelosi, when asked to release her tax return, said, oh, we shouldn't talk about that. We should be talking about middle-income tax cuts. Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? I guess turnabout is fair play. I wonder what Dianne Feinstein's tax returns would show, for example. Do you think she has benefited during her tenure as senator? I wonder. I really wonder if she took the job because she wanted to lose money. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. I'd rather avoid topics that have to do only with politics. They're a little boring, dull, predictable, and very, 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 very boring. So let's go to the callers who have been listening for an hour. If you just joined us, you'll catch up as the callers call in. Larry in New York on WOR. What's on your mind, Larry?
Hey, Yeah, hi there, Michael. I want to say, although I agree wholeheartedly with your message, I was offended several times when you boasted with pride how you bought a chicken breast for your dog. I mean, when there are people starving in the world, is it not good enough to ask the restaurant for the scraps from people's plates to give to your dog? Do you have to...
Larry, come on, you're pulling my leg. You don't own a dog, do you?
I had a dog for 13 years that I loved more than anything, and I never...
And you were so cheap that you fed him scraps rather than a chicken breast?
I gave him dog food, is what I gave her.
Actually. Oh, so why are you self-righteous about dog food? What do you think that comes from?
I don't know what it comes from, but
you don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make a mockery of you, but my friend, dog food is not made by Obama. The government doesn't manufacture it out of the molecules in the air. It's from slaughtered animals. What do you think dog food is?
Okay, but there are people that there you could feed a family of four on a 1095.
So wait, let me see if I understand you. I go to the restaurant. I'm ordering pasta and a salad, and I say to my friend Lorenzo, give him a chicken breast, no salt and pepper. I should take the chicken breast and walk around San Francisco looking for a homeless person?
No, I mean, on moral grounds, you shouldn't order an entree in a restaurant for a dog. I think a lot of people
shouldn't? What do you mean, I shouldn't? You're paying for it?
What about your audience who can't afford, some of the people who can't afford to go to restaurants? Don't you want to garner their support, too, from the poorer classes?
Wait, this is crazy. So when I order a hamburger for my dog in a restaurant, that's your business, too?
I think it's everybody's business. It's a humanitarian point. There are people starving in Africa. For $10, you could feed a family.
Now
for
you're
a week.
Pulling my leg. So you mean I should fly over Africa in a jet plane and drop McDonald's bags down there? What are you talking?
Well, you could send the $10 over there. That'll be a lot easier.
Who in Africa should get the $10? Obama's uncle? If you have Obama's uncle's address in Kenya, I'll send him a $10 bill.
So the next time he stops
for a traffic ticket, he can see if he can smear the cop. All right, thanks for the call. That's an interesting call. It's very funny. The people starving in Africa. Yeah, right. Okay. They're not starving in Africa. They're not starving. No one's starving. All the UN food. How about all of the waste and fraud in the UN? Where does that money go to? That's where you should be directing your ire. Not that I buy my dog a chicken breast. Chicken breast. Getting tongue-tied from it all. Chris in New York, WOR. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I have a rag-to-riches story.
Go ahead.
I worked hard most of my life, and I was fired from my job because I have diabetes, and there's no laws to protect working guys like me.
They actually fired you? Wait, that's a violation of the ADA. You can get a lawyer.
The ADA was just overlooked by a federal judge in Brooklyn.
How long ago did this happen, Chris?
Oh, this happened quite a while ago. I went to court with it in 2003.
Yeah, but the ADA was in force in 2003.
It was, in the American Family Medical Leave Act, too, which was circumvented. All right.
I don't understand. You mean they fired you saying you had diabetes and that's the reason they fired you?
They said I was taking off days, but what happened to me was it affected my vision for a while, and I refused to go to work or go down the train with my tracks as a conductor on a New York City subway train.
And my In other words, it was a disability-related absence. I agree with you.
Well, the union didn't do much to help me. That's why I don't like unions and the system.
I got to tell you something. I'm a former teacher, and when I had trouble with management, the union stabbed me in the back. They took the side of management.
Well, that's what Transport Workers Union did here in New York City.
They're all the same. They always pretend they're for the worker, but they take the side of the manager. So did you retire with a pension or what?
I tried to fight it in court just to get my pension, and I lost it Second Circuit Court.
Oh, my God. So you don't even have a pension after all those years?
Ended up on disability after being on welfare, which I didn't want to be on.
That's awful. Now look, this is an injustice. The ADA was written to help people with real illnesses, not the fakers. So you have my sympathy. I'm sorry I can't help you. As you know, the chasm between the law and justice is insurmountable. Right? If you're going to look for justice in the law, you're never going to find it. This was explained to me a long time ago that law and justice and the law are two different things. You know, as Samuel Johnson, the great 18th century essayist, wrote, the law is an ass. And that's absolutely true. Law has almost nothing to do with justice. It's written almost for itself. It's a trick. It's a trick game. What else do you want to talk about? Peggy and Santa Maria, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
that last caller that said you had the nerve to buy your dog a chicken breast. We feed ours chicken breast all the time, Michael. I want you to know that I appreciate you.
I buy at least two chickens a week in the supermarket and I eat it and the dog eats it. I mix it with his dry food and I put carrots in there.
We do too. Ours love broccoli also, and one of them, we have two Maltese, and one of them likes to throw.
It's funny. I heard some dogs like broccoli. Teddy hates broccoli. He'll eat carrots, but he won't eat broccoli. I guess he didn't listen to George Bush about the broccoli part. But
I
will tell you. I will tell you this. He's a fiscal poodle. He's a fiscally conservative poodle.
Yes, that's great.
Thanks for the call. No more dog calls. That's all. The kiss of death. They say the poodle is amongst the smartest breeds. Who knows? Everyone thinks their kid's the smartest. Their dog is the smartest. Thinking of dogs for the moment, can you explain to me why we haven't seen Obama's dog recently? Where is that dog? He was using him around holidays. What is the dog's name, Beowulf? Do you remember the dog's name? Bo? Bo Fiddley. Bo Diddley. No, Obama hasn't yet taken his dog on the road because that would be a big hit. Does Mitt have a dog? Wait a minute. Does Mitt have a dog? Does anyone know if Romney has a dog? See, they're not using dog. You have to kiss babies and walk with your dog in order to attract voters. So let's play a game. We know that Obama has a dog named Bo, and it's, what is it, a water spaniel of some kind? Who knows what it is? Probably a welfare recipient there behind the scenes. If Mitt Romney were to get a dog for the campaign, what would he have to get? That's an interesting question because it relates to his persona. What would match Mitt Romney's persona as a dog for him to carry or to walk around on the campaign trail? The first thing that comes to my mind, I don't know why, is like a St. Bernard. I have no idea why. It doesn't match anything in Utah or Samoa or Mormon. Why a St. Bernard? I don't know why a St. Bernard comes to mind. A Labrador Retriever, no, that's not Mitt Romney. Maybe a Golden Lab. He's like a Golden Lab. Golden Labs have great temperaments. We knew it when the kids were young. We never had one, but we were told that the kids poke them, push them, bite them, and nothing happens. They have good-natured temperaments. So he is like a Golden Lab. Mitt Romney's like a Golden Lab. No matter how Obama punches him in the stomach, pokes him, puts a pencil in his ear, he doesn't seem to take any offense at it. That's the problem. That's the problem. He's got to stop being a golden retriever, and he's got to start becoming he's got to reach for the pit bull within. Maybe it'll come out later on. Who knows? Whatever. Who knows? We don't know. Speaking of, you want to hear a funny dog story? I'm walking a dog today in the city. I have one of those roller leashes. I keep him close. I let him run. He pees in every five. He's 11 pounds. He doesn't miss a pole. He doesn't miss a fire hydrant, a pole, a lamppost, a bush, a wall. Every 10 feet, he's driving me crazy. It's incomprehensible that a dog this small could have that much water in his body. And it gets me crazy because I like to walk fast. So I'm passing a group of yakkers coming into North Beach. You know the type of idiots who block the sidewalk? Like a bunch of girls. They don't shut up. And I didn't want to say I'm on your left. I just didn't even want to talk to them. I kind of squirm around them with the dog. And one of them accidentally kicks the dog in her stride. I didn't see it. I didn't hear a yelp. And she starts to laugh. And she's like, look at that. I kicked the dog. I got so mad. I turned around and I said, what are you laughing for? What are you laughing for? I said, if you're a human being, your response wouldn't be that of laughter. You kick a little dog and you think it's funny? Yeah, well, the smile went off her face. But that, I mean, what are you supposed to do? It was an accident, right? But the response was inappropriate. And what I'm getting at is we have a lot of disconnect between reality and fantasy and humanity in San Francisco and every city in America. But you see, I have anger control. Believe me. And that could have been dog rage. It could have been walk rage. It could have been roller rage. It could have been any rage that I wanted it. But I controlled it. I said what I had to say, okay? But I didn't do anything. I mean, that girl really deserved to have something more than me saying it to her. But, you know, it would have happened, right? And I'm not a violent person. 1-800-449-8. You can see it's a different kind of show today. I'm not doing the Romney, Obama, vaudeville act today. I can't do it. I don't want to do it today. It's a beautiful day. It's the 19th of July already. Normal people are on vacation. Sane people are either swimming right now or enjoying a glass of alcohol somewhere. I'm on radio, and if you're listening to me, it means that you also are a working stiff. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I don't know why the stinger went on longer than normal. 600-year-old bras discovered. Revolutionary finding in the world of underwear at Austrian Castle. You hear this? This is a news story. What do you mean? They didn't have them then? Is that that was not known? There was no brassiere 600 years ago? Is that really a true story? 600-year-old linen bras found in Austrian Castle. Why is that a news story? The Archaeological Institute of the University of Innsbruck shows a medieval bra. The bra is commonly thought to be little more than 100 years old, as corseted women abandoned rigid fashion and opted for the more natural look. But that timeline is about to be revised with the discovery of four brassieres from the Middle Ages in a debris-filled vault of an Austrian castle. It indicates the bra was already worn around 600 years ago before being abandoned for the stiff stays dictated by the form-hugging clothing that became the mode for centuries. A revolutionary discovery has hit the world of underwear. Women 600 years ago wore bras. I don't understand why it's a story. I guess people didn't know it. I don't quite understand why that's a big story. I mean, I thought women, did they wear them in Esther's time in biblical times? They walked around basically with a muumuu in the desert. They hadn't. I don't understand that. I think brassieres are very bad on it. I mean, I don't want to get into lewd, stupid jokes, but truthfully, if I were a woman, I wouldn't wear a brassiere. I think they're very, they're damaging to a woman's breasts, frankly. You know, I mean, all of that pressure constantly your whole life pressing you in, I wouldn't wear it. Here in San Francisco, here's what they're featuring. There's a chef with some a chain of restaurants. He's unveiled a $245 20-course meal of his special creations. You can puke from any one of them. Not, I wouldn't eat any of them if they gave them to me for free. Like for lunch today, I said, give me a salad, lettuce, tomato, and onion with a dressing I love, vinegar dressing, and give me the rigatoni with marinara. Look at this. A new menu at the enormous flagship restaurant. It's called The Gamut. It's $245 and 20 courses. You want to hear the first course? Geoduck clam, two ways. White gazpacho, sparkling grapes, and almonds. My mother would turn over in her grave. She'd say, what is it, leftovers from the kitchen can that they threw on a plate and put a flour on it? That's course number one. Can you imagine 20 courses? Here's number two. Oh, that's not on the menu. It's actually like a piece of salmon. Liberty Farms duck breast. Miso pear puree, hijiki vinaigrette, and daishi broth. Unbelievable. Next course. Liberty Farms duck breast with lobster pot pie behind. Lobster pot pie behind? I didn't know a lobster had a behind. A lobster pot pie behind? Oh, maybe they got a word wrong in it. I don't know. But would you buy a 20-course menu for $245? Reservations are required for the morons to line up. Oh, takes 4 hours to complete this meal. 4 hours to sit in a restaurant and go, oh, is that? Did you try that? Oh, wow. Did you try the tomato terrine? Oh, I never ate anything like that. Oh, did you try the geoduck clam two ways? Oh, my God, that was amazing. I mean, I'm going to have diabetes. Look at these meals. First of all, if you sit for 4 hours, that's a disaster for your blood sugar. Then it comes with cheesecake, sugar wafers, walnut crisps. I never eat dessert, incidentally. I think one of the reasons that I've gotten this far is I don't eat dessert. I stopped dessert after the age of 9. It was killing me. I would go to school with narcolepsy from what my mother gave me. Between the heavy meals and the jelly donuts, I couldn't stay awake in school. I would doze off. No, seriously, I got into the nutrition field. Never eat dessert. It's poison. The sugar disease is what kills most Westerners. It's not fat, by the way. The greatest threat to your health, in my estimation, is not fat. It's sugar. Sugar is the number one killer in Western civilization. People are addicted to sugar. And it's the white refined sugar that's killed most people. Diabetes, heart disease, even cancer.
Savage.
All right, let's get down to a very serious topic. George Zimmerman goes on a Fox News show last night with Wallbanger, who, I'm going to ask you something. You know what came out just an hour ago? George Zimmerman prosecution may use TV interview as evidence. So Hannity, either on purpose or inadvertently, set up Zimmerman for a fall. George Zimmerman's television interview, in which he said he had few regrets about the night he killed teenager Trayvon Martin, has been entered as possible evidence in his upcoming murder trial. In a wide-ranging interview with Fox News' Wallbanger, Zimmerman, appearing articulate and calm, said he neither regretted carrying a gun nor pursuing the 17-year-old Martin. "I feel that it was all God's plan," he told the uneducated Wallbanger. When asked if there was anything you might do differently from the Wallbanger, Zimmerman fell into the trap and said, "No, sir." This morning, the prosecution entered the tape of the interview with Wallbanger into discovery and could attempt to admit it as evidence in Zimmerman's trial on charges of second-degree murder. So, in other words, there's several stories here. One, he never should have agreed to the interview. B, Wallbanger should apologize profusely for having set Zimmerman up like this. Even by accident, Wallbanger owes him for setting him up like this. You could argue that Fox News and Wallbanger committed a great crime by taking this poor guy who doesn't have any skills in the media and manipulating him into an interview, number one, telling him we'd be friendly to you, number two, and then setting him up to say something that'll be used to burn him. I mean, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about Wallbanger on Fox News setting Zimmerman up, where the prosecution today pounced on the interview and they're going to say they're going to use the TV interview as evidence? They introduced it today in discovery. George Zimmerman said that the shooting of Trayvon Williams was God's plan on Wallbanger's show. That's an amazing story. And today, the prosecution leapt into the fray. And I believe that Wallbanger is liable here. I'm not a lawyer, but something's wrong with this picture. When set up with a question by Wallbanger, if there was anything you might do differently, that was asked by Wallbanger Hannity. Zimmerman responded, "No, sir." Now they're going to crucify him with this. Now you could say, well, that's his problem. He didn't have to go on the show. He should not have answered the question. I don't know that that absolves. I would never set someone up like that. I wouldn't say to a guy who's in a murder case, "Was there anything you might do differently?" Well, what's a leading question? That's a prosecutor's question. And although Hannity never went past high school, he should know that. You don't have to have gone to college to know that. I mean, even though the most experience he's ever had in the world prior to being on radio was as putting up drywall, and I have nothing against drywall. I teach that at San Quentin, how to put up drywall, and I understand that. He got very lucky filling in for Rush, and then he turned himself into a big star. But don't you think that Wallbanger, I affectionately call him that, set up Zimmerman by saying, "Is there anything you might do differently?" That's a leading question. And by the way, if I were a defense attorney, I would object to such a question and not permit it to be asked of my client. But there he was, set up by Hannity Wallbanger. Houston Don, you're on the Savage Nation. How do you feel about that?
Yes, I watched the interview last night, and the thing that impressed me the most was that his criminal defense attorney was sitting right next to him, and he would have stopped the interview if there was anything that would have prejudiced him. In fact, he did one time when he asked him some questions about the defense fund. He did stop him from saying anything about that.
So what you're saying is that Zimmerman's defense attorney is liable here for letting him answer the question.
I think they did that as a PR move, actually.
Who did what as a PR move?
Zimmerman and his attorney.
Yeah, well, he needs money. The poor guy's not a rich guy. He needs money for his defense, so he needs exposure, so he goes on this show. But I'm saying today, the prosecution said they're going to they're going to take the interview and use it as far as the prosecution now, to further the prosecution.
Well, I think the only way they could use it is if they could find something that was inconsistent with prior statements in which they would try to impeach his testimony.
Well, they do, because Wallbanger asked them something, and he said, "Is there anything you might do differently?" And Zimmerman said no, and that was the end of the road for him, because he's been saying the opposite.
I think he had to say no, because otherwise he would have set himself up for.
Here's the problem. One thing everyone listening to the show should learn is that if you're ever going to go to trial, don't go on. Don't do any media. You can't win. Let your lawyer talk. Let your lawyer do your talking. Don't you do it, because you're going to be screwed every which way to Sunday. We have a clip of Zimmerman saying it was all God's plan. Let's hear clip one, all God's plan.
I feel that it was all God's plan.
Okay. Very short segment, makes sense. Makes no sense without Wallbanger, is that what you're saying? Let me hear clip 15, the one you have up on the thing.
I would not have done anything differently, but I do wish that there was something, anything I could have done that wouldn't have put me in the position where I had to take his life. And I do want to tell everyone, my wife, my family, my parents, my grandmother, the Martins, the city of Sanford, and America, that I'm sorry that this happened. I hate to think that because of this incident, because of my actions, it's polarized and divided America. And I'm truly sorry.
I'm sure he is. And I'm sure it was an accidental death. And I'm sure he was fighting for his life, which is not to say that the other boy should be dead. We wish the other boy were alive, but he isn't. Now what, you want to ruin two lives because Al Sharpton shot his big mouth off and Jesse Jackson went down there with the race baiting? That's the only reason this poor guy is in the trouble he's in, is because of these race baiters and these race haters. And then they found out that the guy is part black. They weren't saying very much after that. Suddenly it wasn't white on black. It was suddenly something else. And you haven't heard from him, have you? No. So it's a terrible tragedy. The kid's dead. Zimmerman obviously was fighting for his life. He didn't go out hunting and looking for anybody. There had been burglaries in the neighborhood. He was one of the watch patrolmen trying to prevent the further burglaries. He did the right thing. He didn't have to shoot the guy. I don't know. What would you have done if you're on the ground and the guy's pounding your head? Tell me, and reaching for the gun in your waistband. Tell me what you would have done. You would have done the same thing. Well, the old adage, you know, it's easy to say and it's a joke. Better to be judged by, right, 9 than buried by whatever. Well, he's alive now. He's going to be judged by what, 9? Is it 9 in a jury? I don't even know. 12, that's what I said. Better to be judged by 9 than 12 with the juries today. 1-800-449. Better to be judged by 12 than buried by how many? 6? Yeah, 6. That's the number. You got to get 6. I don't think I could find 6 people to carry a casket after a lifetime. Who would be there? 1-800. Terrible story. I have to lighten it up. It's sad. I mean, how would you like to be in his position every day, waking up with this monkey on his back? You know what I'm saying? This is every day. And Syria, my God. You don't know which side to be on here. You know that Assad's a murderous thug, but you know the other side are murderous thugs. So you don't know which way, you don't know what to do. What, you want Hezbollah now to get you want Al-Qaeda to get the nuclear weapons and the chemical weapons? Why is China and Russia on the side of Syria, rather on the side of the so-called sacred rebels? And why is the United States under Hillary Clinton? Why does she have this wrong as well? They were on the side of the rebels in Egypt. Look what we got. We got the Muslim Brotherhood. So you mean Hillary Clinton didn't know that by overthrowing Mubarak, we'd get the Muslim Brotherhood? Or she did know? So if she did know, why is she on their side? Why has she been on the side of the radical Islamists from Libya to Egypt to Syria? Why? What are they trying to do? Foment the worldwide rising of Islamism around the world? Now, paranoid people would say yes. This whole administration seems to be pro-Islamist. Everyone seems to know that, except the Jewish ladies in the Century Village dining hall of Boca Raton, where Obama appeared today. They have no idea he's the greatest enemy in the history of Israel. The greatest enemy in the history of Israel has been the Obama administration. They're there throwing kisses at him. Oh, you can't believe what we had today. He's such a handsome devil. I loved him. Oh, he came and I died. I felt. I'm going to vote for him how many times, Millie? 10, 20 times, whatever I can. The woman told me I can vote as many times as I want. How can you do that? Oh, don't ask. They have a way. Oh, it's so wonderful. It's added years to my life. So, yeah, there it is. What do you want to talk about? Delaware, Stuart, you're on the... I don't want to go to Zimmerman. What else? Syria's Assad emerges briefly after attack, then goes into hiding. They got into his inner circle. Wow. They blew up his defense minister, his brother-in-law. Trayvon's parents blast son's killer for God's plan comments. Can't blame them either. The parents of the unarmed teen, who was shot and killed by a Florida neighborhood watch volunteer, reject the shooter's claim that the shooting was a part of God's plan. In an interview with Fox News host Wallbanger, George Martin, I think that's the dad of the deceased, whatever, FBI raids City Hall in New Jersey's capital. Another great example there. FBI agents raided City Hall in New Jersey's capital on Thursday, a day after searching the home of the city's embattled mayor. Great leadership they have over there. They thought it was a cash machine. Not different than any other city run by liberal Democrats, by the way. The ATM machines are running around the clock. Every city in the country run by liberal Dems. Trayvon Martin's father, Tracy Martin, told the AP that Zimmerman must worship a different God from them. And speaking Thursday on NBC's Today Show, Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, said the idea was ridiculous. He had no regards for Trayvon's life, and he don't regret taking Trayvon's life, Martin said. Had George Zimmerman stayed in his vehicle, Trayvon would be with us here today. Well, she's right. But he was a neighborhood watch commander. He couldn't have stayed in his vehicle. Once he was out there doing his job as a neighborhood watchman, see, this happened. What should he have done? The watchman who had called 911 to report the 17-year-old's suspicious activity ignored a dispatcher's directive to stay in his car before the fatal confrontation in Sanford, Florida. Now, that's what's going to crucify him. Did you hear? This is what's going to crucify him, is that he should have gotten back in the car or stayed in the car because the 911 caller told him, get in your car or stay in your car. I would not have done anything differently, he said. I'm not a racist. I'm not a murderer. Then AP writes this. Martin was black. Zimmerman is half Hispanic, half white. Well, they ought to get their facts right, these vermin at the AP. He's also part black, according to Reuters. But don't tell that to the brainwashed fools at Associated Press. Zimmerman insisted that he wasn't pursuing Martin and left the car only to keep an eye on him and tell police where he was going. He also said the Reverend Al Sharpton. Where is the word Reverend? I never want to hear the word Reverend and Al Sharpton put together. Grifter Al Sharpton. Con man Al Sharpton. I dare anyone to tell me where he got his divinity degree. He went to Columbia, Harvard. Where did he get his divinity degree? What do you mean the Reverend? I can't stand this. I'm a doctor, Dr. Michael Savage, real PhD from University of California at Berkeley, 23 books. Call me doctor. I don't demand you call me doctor, but you're going to call that street rat, that agitator, that race hater a reverend? I'm not in my presence, you won't. Reverend Al Sharpton. Reverend my behind. Reverend. I can't stand this anymore. Filmmaker Spike Lee should apologize for being so public in their rush to judgment. They should go to prison for being so public in their rush to judgment. They're race hustlers. That's how they got where they are. Let's look back on their history. Where they picked Spike Lee out of film school because he was a genius? How do you think Spike Lee got where he is? Whether you like his movies or not. They picked him because he was a genius as a filmmaker. Not because of any other, any other situations. I'll be back. Leave me alone. I'm getting out of here. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You want to also talk about this miscarriage of justice. As you know, the Kennedys act like a crime clan. Okay, now you have one of them, Carrie Kennedy, slams into a truck, whacked out of her mind. She crashes into a truck. The truck driver was just charged with leaving the scene of a crime. That shows you Cuomo's New York. It shows you the crime clan. How they got to the governor that they would turn it on this poor truck driver, Rocco Scaletti. I'm going to try and raise money for this guy. I have my own troubles, but I'll tell you, I can't believe what I'm looking at. The driver of the truck struck by the ex-wife of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been charged with leaving the scene of an accident without reporting it. So they turn it on the truck driver. She's whacked out of her mind, slams into him. They charge him. Rocco Scaletti of Poughkeepsie was driving an I-64 north of New York City when he was struck by Kerry Kennedy's Lexus on Friday. She has pled not guilty to a charge of driving while drug impaired. Kennedy said doctors believe the accident was caused by a seizure stemming from an old brain injury. Yeah. So now investigators charged Scaletti, the truck driver, with leaving the scene without reporting the crash. The guy has no lawyer. Meanwhile, she was charged at the time with driving while ability impaired by drugs after cops said they found her unable to walk, talk, or see straight minutes after a harrowing drive on I-64 last Friday. Drivers had reported her going like in and out, cutting off drivers before slamming her Lexus into a tractor trailer and fleeing the scene. Then they arrest the truck driver. Can you believe New York under Cuomo? Another liberal Democratic stronghold? If we have to raise money, we will for this poor guy. Rocco Scaletti, if you're listening to the show, my producer will be in touch with you. We're going to try and do something for you. We're not going to let the crime clan of Kennedy take you, an innocent truck driver, and destroy you simply because she's a rich woman and you're a poor man. I mean, maybe they should put a bounty on him and indict him for attacking Pearl Harbor. Maybe they could pin the Lindbergh baby kidnapping on Mr. Scaletti. By the time her PR people get through with this poor truck driver, he'll be charged with the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and MLK, driving Mary Jo Kopechne off the bridge, murdering Mary Kennedy. It's unbelievable to me. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about a corrupt Democrat politician machine woman turning it on the truck driver that she slammed into? How do you put up with a thing like this? Astounding. Legally, by the way, in New York State, if there are no documented seizures for over 1 year, the license can be reissued if a proper driving evaluation is done. So she's charged with leaving the scene, but she does a hit and run and has only DUI charges? And she cost the hardworking truck driver his job? Okay, we're talking about the Kennedys here. We're talking about the crime family, the Kennedy crime family. Even the New York Post is saying Kennedy's acting like crime clan after Kerry Kennedy's alleged drugged driving crash. Can you believe this? Okay, Rocco Scaletti, I don't believe this. Gene McIntosh, trucker and Kennedy crash charged. What a group of vampires. What a group of filthy vampires that family is. Kerry Kennedy sent it with brother Chris and sister Rory, admitted taking Ambien and now says there were no drugs involved. You hear this? And they charge the truck driver that she smashed into. How does Cuomo get away with this? How did he get elected? Are people in New York that stupid? Don't they understand what's going on here? Paul in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. I work for somebody that lives in that town where this happened. The town is called Armonk, New York.
Yes.
This happened on the highway that goes through Armonk. So this Armonk.
Sorry, your cell phone's breaking up. Yes, it happened in Armonk. Armonk. Meanwhile, Kennedy yesterday said she's open to apologizing to trucker Scaletti in person. Scaletti, who was suspended by his employer after he didn't report that Kennedy plowed into him, called her apology very heartwarming. So in other words, the truck company was approached by the government of the state of New York and said, fire the bum, and then they charge him the next day, even though he was innocent and she was guilty, to everyone looking at this? Wow. The Kennedy clan's ramped-up reaction to Kerry Kennedy's alleged drugged driving smash-up has upstate authorities likening the brood to a bunch of wise guys, sources said yesterday. A law enforcement source said the family is so aggressive they act like some organized crime family. They come right out playing hardball with bare knuckles. They don't even know the facts. Charged with driving while ability impaired by drugs after cops said he found her unable to walk, talk, or see straight minutes after harrowing. Well, next they should indict the cop. They can claim the cop raped her. And that's why she was disoriented. She was on the way to a Girl Scout meeting to bake cookies when the mean cop pulled her over, stole her Girl Scout cookies, and raped her in the back of the car, which is why she was driving in a kind of a bizarre manner. Maybe they can arrest the cop next. And they can say the cop put the Ambien in her. And they can say the cop put the urine test, his own urine, in the cup. After all, it's the Kennedys and it's in New York State. If they can arrest the truck, if they can charge the truck driver, why not that? Arrest the cop next.
Seven.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
let's listen to some of the audio that we've gathered. You won't believe this. You got to hear the sound we get for the Savage Nation. First, we have John McCain defending the honor of Huma Abedin.
Over the past decade, I've had the pleasure of knowing her during her long and dedicated service to Hillary Rodham Clinton, both in the United States Senate and now in the Department of State. I know Huma to be an intelligent, upstanding, hardworking, and loyal servant of our country and our government, who has devoted countless days of her life to advancing the ideals of the nation she loves and looking after its most precious interests. Huma Abedin represents what is best about America, the daughter of immigrants, who has risen to the highest levels of our government on the basis of her substantial personal merit and her abiding commitment to the American ideals that she embodies. Recently, it has been alleged that Huma Abedin, a Muslim American, is part of a nefarious conspiracy to harm the United States by unduly influencing U.S. foreign policy at the Department of State in favor of the mother of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, okay, that's fine, but he keeps going. He didn't defend my honor when I was banned in Britain.
The information offered to support these serious allegations is based on a report, quote, The Muslim Brotherhood in America, which is produced by the Center for Security Policy. And I'd like to point out, I have worked with the Center for Security Policy. Its friend, ahead of it, is a longtime friend of mine. But still, this report is scurrilous. To say that the accusations made in both documents are not substantiated by the evidence they offer is to be overly polite and diplomatic about it. It is far better and more accurate to talk straight. These allegations about Huma Abedin and the report from which they are drawn are nothing less than an unwarranted and unfounded attack on an honorable citizen, a dedicated American, and a loyal public servant.
And Boehner gets involved now defending Huma Abedin. He didn't come to my defense either when I was banned in Britain.
Speaker Boehner, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann sent a letter to, and four other House Republicans sent a letter to State Department IG and other IGs about the influence of groups like the Muslim Brotherhood in the federal government, and specifically mentioned Huma Abedin, the Deputy Chief of Staff to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and basically said there were that she had ties to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, I haven't seen the letter, and I don't know Huma. But from everything that I do know of her, she has a sterling character. And I think accusations like this being thrown around are pretty dangerous.
Now listen to Pelosi, the comedian from San Francisco, comparing Obama to Lincoln.
Well, without agreeing to the initial stipulation that all these presidents have grown in office, but looking to some who were effective right from the start, Abraham Lincoln, all the challenges that he had, Franklin Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, people who, you know, really made a very important mark, Lyndon Johnson, I think that a lot of them came in a very, very strong way. And I think so did President Obama. Effective from the start, 1 week and 1 day after he made the beautiful inaugural address on the steps of the Capitol asking for swift, bold action now, we passed in the House the Recovery Act, saving or creating over 3 million jobs, a job creator from the start.
Wait, Pelosi as president? Can you imagine if that, God forbid, ever happened to this fair nation?
I think that the Republicans are working on that, don't you? They seem to be calling for him to release his tax returns.
Well, it's going to be an endless story.
Yeah. Well, it is, you run for president. I mean, the vetting that goes on for president of the United States shouldn't be anything less than being vice president or a cabinet officer.
In fairness, members of leaders of the Congress don't release their tax returns.
Well, we're not running for president. We do all of the disclosure that is necessary. And he, his father, said standard for transparency. So it isn't. This is a tradition that he is breaking, not only personally in his family, but for candidates for president of the United States. You want to run for president, the ante is upped.
Right. Now, just to rub in the contrast, rub in the potential contrast, have you considered releasing yours just to make it clear that Democrats
when
have
I run for president, I will.
Now she says the Dems should stay home and campaign.
I think they should stay home, campaign in their districts, use their financial and political resources to help them win their election. We have an incumbent president of the United States. We're very proud of him. There certainly will be enough people there to express that pride. But I'm not encouraging members to go to the convention, no matter what the situation was.
Finally, George Zimmerman gets his day before the public and he speaks out. Listen.
I realize that it wasn't my gun. It wasn't his gun. It was the gun. He said, "You're going to die tonight." And took one hand off of my mouth and I felt it going down my chest towards my belt and my holster. And that's when I didn't have any more time. It just happened so quickly. I would not have done anything differently. But I do wish that there was something, anything I could have done that wouldn't have put me in the position where I had to take his life. And I do want to tell everyone, my wife, my family, my parents, my grandmother, the Martins, the city of Sanford, and America, that I'm sorry that this happened. I hate to think that because of this incident, because of my actions, it's polarized and divided America. And I'm truly sorry.
Finally, we have Romney attacking, speaking out on Obama's lack of logic and his lies. All this on the Savage Nation.
There are a lot of people in government who help us and allow us to have an economy that works. We all recognize that. That's an important thing. Don't forget, by the way, government doesn't invent those people out of thin air. We pay for those people with our taxes. We're paying for those resources that we receive. For all those in this room who didn't start a business, and that's the great majority of people in our country, I hope you understand that the logic of what the president said extends to all of you. Because what he's saying is that if someone has succeeded, if they built something, he's saying they didn't really build it. No, it was the government. So for the student in school that works hard to get on the honor roll, that's not really them. That's their teacher that did that and the government that paid for it. And if somebody came here across the border legally and brought their family seeking a better life, their success is not due to them. No, they didn't build it. The government gets credit for that. And if a person in their job says, you know what, I'm gonna work hard and get more skills and I got a promotion. That promotion, oh, by the way, that's not yours. That's thanks to government. That's where this leads.
Here are the headlines on MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture prevail. As we guessed, the Fort Hood report shows the FBI was blinded by political correctness, ignoring the warning signs of Major Nidal Hassan, who went on to kill 13 and wound 32, in a bloodthirsty orgy. He was a Muslim on a rampage, a Muslim psychiatrist in the military. He should have been stopped 2 years before. But the FBI was busy investigating returning veterans, those opposed to abortion, and any patriot in America. Hassan was looked the other way. Thank you very much. Judge grants Tennessee mosque's petition. Let the worshipers observe Ramadan. That's good. Michelle's weekend getaway to Aspen cost the taxpayers $83,000. Records were obtained after filing a lawsuit. It's nice to be king. Another taxpayer-subsidized solar plant goes belly up. Campaign for Reed in Nevada produces nothing. We're reading the headlines from MichaelSavage.com. Islamist militants growing as a threat to Germany. Oh, yeah, really? Uprising in Syria puts Hezbollah on the defensive. White House allowed donors to feed at green energy trough. He said, I have $134 billion that I have to disperse. There's your honest Obama. The most corrupt president in American history. Jobs market still in doldrums. The number of new unemployment claims rebounded. Poll, Roberts, Supreme Court Justice, more popular among liberals than conservatives. Who was the first to tell you that? Me, Michael Savage. 7 Israelis killed, in a terror attack in Bulgaria. Savage says Obama's the most evil president ever. I don't know if you read the article. Do you think I'm over the top on that? How about Obamacare is immoral? You believe that? What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Well, let's go to the bottom and see. Mind your own business, Obama. Boy Scouts reaffirm ban on gays. Have you seen the video of 40 black teens flash robbing a grocery store? They went in a flash mob. Media won't cover it. Local TV did. Go watch the video. That's what's going on across America. Pill bottle mystery at Sage Stallone's house. They said the bottles found in his apartment could hold up to 30,000 powerful prescription painkillers. So the implication is that he was a drug dealer. I'm not so sure. It could also have been someone setting up Sage Stallone and throwing the pills around, the bottles around, rather than him being a dealer. They could have, you know, executed him and made him look like a drug dealer. Also on MichaelSavage.com, U.S. partners with Mexico to do what? To keep illegals out? No, to boost food stamp use by Mexicans both in Mexico and in America. There's your Obama at work, giving away your money. Grocery bills on rise as corn prices near record highs. Foreclosure crisis hits older blacks, Hispanics the hardest. It's going from bad to worse. Home sales dropped 5.4%. Microsoft reports first ever quarterly loss. Maybe they can get a government subsidy. General Services Administration, one of our watchdog agencies, just wasted another $270,000 on an award ceremony. The drought is so bad that a Democrat politician prayed in the White House for Midwest rain. I guess we'll have a corn dance very soon in the White House. And Barack and Michelle can oversee a corn dance. Alec Baldwin, that lying rat who yelled at his daughter, that fraud, loudmouth, disgusting liberal phony. As you know, he does ads for Capital One. They just got hit with a $210 million fine for deceptive credit card practices. Every time I see that rat on a TV ad, I turn the TV off. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? CDC says nation on track for worst year for whooping cough in 5 decades. Why? They won't tell you why. I know why. It's coming in from Mexico. TSA agents allegedly strip searched a woman and fiddled with her feeding tube. It gets worse and worse and worse. I'm not going to talk about that today. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Opposition groups must be free to assemble and to participate and to speak to the media. Voting should occur without violence or intimidation.
Right, a lonely the San Francisco treat. Right, a lonely the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling cooking.
CFR plus Rockefeller plus Illuminati plus Bilderberg plus Kissinger plus Bohemian Grove plus Federal Reserve equals Rice, Romney, Bush, Obama. Just add water. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's that simple. Just add water. Presto, you have the same Bilderberg selection Just add water, you have the same Kissinger selection. Just add water, you have the same Rockefeller selection. Just add water, you have the same Council on Foreign Relations selection, up to a certain point. However, were it not for the few Republicans who I deeply respect, we would be living in a South American dictatorship right now under this administration. Dare I say, the scandals that Romney will not mention, instead of defending himself against false attacks about Bain Capital, he should have been going on to the machine gun attacks against the numerous scandals surrounding the president. Guns to Mexico, Solyndra. I can go down the list. Why do I have to go down the list? He's running for the office, not me. So what I should do for you is I'm going to play clip 13 and show you the mistakes that Romney is making. He's playing defense. He's saying, oh, they're lying about me. Oh, I'm a good guy. Instead of attacking, he's defending. Listen to 13.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
When a president doesn't tell the truth, how can we trust him to lead? The Obama outsourcing attacks, misleading, unfair, and untrue.
Mistake.
There was
one.
No evidence that Mitt Romney shipped jobs
Mistake
overseas.
Mistake two.
Candidate Obama lied about Hillary Clinton.
So shame on you, Barack Obama.
But America expects more from a president. Obama's dishonest campaign. Another reason America has lost confidence in Barack Obama.
That's garbage produced by some lightweights with no experience. These are not mad men. These are sad men. You know the series on TV, Mad Men? The campaign, the ad men running this for Romney, they're sad men, not mad men.
Savage.
My strength is that I would say I'm an immigrant son. Yes, I'm proud of that because I did it all on my own, no contacts, no family money. So, okay, I should take pride in that. Two, I have had to struggle for everything I have, so I know what it's like to work. Three, I have to tell you, I walk the streets of my city, my town, my village. Wherever I go, I tend to go to town and look to people, look at people, listen to people, hear the people. I don't necessarily just turn to the internet for my view of the world. So when I just went to New York and I was there and I look at a guy sweating inside a halal stand in Manhattan in 120 degree heat inside the stand there with a charcoal stove. By the way, the pollution level from the wood fired, the charcoal stoves. How does Mr. Bloomberg, he bans soda but and cigarettes, but he doesn't ban halal stands that are burning pollution all over the streets. I never saw anything like it. The selective enforcement and the myopia of the mayor there is astounding to me. But you see a guy sweating his behind off, or you get into a taxi, or you get into a car. You see the guy driving around listening to you on the radio, listening to anyone on the radio. You think he knows what that ad just said? He has no idea. The Romney campaign is all wrong. Again, it's defense, not offense. Instead of defending his reputation, he should be attacking Obama's reputation because there's so much to say. Why? Because the guy in the street doesn't have time for the subtleties. The guy in the street doesn't even understand what the Romney ad meant. The guy in the street needs to hear, Mr. President, tell us what you knew and when you knew it about running machine guns to Mexico. Mr. President, tell us what you knew and when you knew it about the 22 Navy SEALs who were killed in a Chinook helicopter. Who put them on that helicopter, Mr. Obama? Mr. Obama, tell America why you're downsizing the military while China is building up their military. Mr. Obama, tell us why you are not imposing tariffs on Chinese goods. Mr. Obama, tell us why you've sent jobs overseas. Mr. Obama, tell us why you cater to the illegal aliens from Mexico. Those are the issues. Those are some of the issues. Not I'm a good guy and I wasn't a bad guy at Bain. Crazy wrong. I pray to God that somebody in the Romney family listens to my show. I'm going to vote for the guy. I don't care who he chooses. If it's neutral rice, fine. But for God's sakes, you're talking about people who don't even know what you're talking about. So we're in trouble up to a certain extent here. And the biggest problem is that we have amateurs running the Romney campaign, in my estimation. He needs not the sad men, but the mad men. And he doesn't have any. That's the take-home message to the Savage Nation. And just to show you how into rice I am, last night, instead of cooking pasta, I cooked rice. It came out very good, too, by the way. I didn't realize you could do it so easily. I made a great homemade dish. I was tired, but I didn't want to go out. And my son tells me I eat too much pasta and bread. Everything I eat, he tells me, is the wrong thing. I said, get back to me when you're my age and tell me what the right diet is. I made rice. You put in 3/4 cup. You put in a double the water, with a little less than a double. You bring it to a boil. You turn it down. You put the top on. While you're doing that, you get out the frying pan. No, I made it incredible. I wanted Indian food, but I didn't want to go for it. So I made my own equivalent. It was fabulous. Just unbelievable. You put in your cabbage. You cook your potato. You cook your cabbage. No, it was really good. The dog, I wouldn't give any of that. I gave him the good food. I gave him the roast beef and the turkey. I ate the leftover dreck in a frying pan with rice. I had to eat the lightweight stuff. What do you think about rice? I don't mean the recipe I just gave you. I mean the rice recipe for a vice president, the rice presidential candidate. Rice-a-roni. Would you like some comic value? We could play Nancy Pelosi. Let's have some comedy now on the Savage Nation. Here's the comedian in clip 15, Nancy Pelosi.
As you know, yesterday, once again, for the 30-something time, the Republicans tried to take away protections for patients in our country. There's a little baby born with a birth defect, a child with a disability or asthma, cancer, diabetes.
Tell us about the highway to nowhere, Nancy. Tell us about the tunnels to nowhere, Nancy. Nancy, 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 Nancy. No one believes a word you say. Nancy, Nancy, fancy Nancy. No one believes a word. But how do you feel about rice? We know that Nancy Pelosi is the shock comedian of the Democrat Party. We know they bring her out every time the Democrat Party's ratings sag. To attract attention, they bring her out to tell a little joke. What do you think about Condoleezza Rice, though? I personally think it's a mistake. I don't think she's going to draw much attention. She's not going to pull over any voters. Okay, what group is she going to bring in that wasn't going to vote? Let's start with the common sense. Okay, tell me this. How many Hispanics are now going to vote for Romney because he chose Condoleezza Rice? Answer, zero. How many African Americans who would be considered independent or undecided are now going to jump to Romney because he picked Condoleezza Rice? Exactly 12. How many women who were not sure about who to vote are now going to vote for Romney because he picked Condoleezza Rice? I don't know. Maybe more than 15. So collectively, he gained between 25 and 47 votes if he picks Condoleezza Rice. Scientifically speaking, if he picks Condoleezza Rice, he gains between 25 and 47 actual voters for this pick, to show you how intelligent the sad men are who are advising him. Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. Risk averse, playing it safe, going to the center is not going to work, my opinion. The vice presidential candidate, needs to expand the voter base, not maintain the small center. You pick somebody who is different than you, someone who appeals to a larger group than you may, someone, if you want to put it that way, who may be a little more radical than you, someone on the fringes, someone who can excite a crowd, anybody, not just another one. Look, I'm trying to help the Romney campaign. I don't understand how they're making so many mistakes. So I will ask you to call the show today on this or any other topic. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The book is Trickle Down Tyranny. I want everyone listening to the show to buy another copy and give it to a wobbler friend, a wobbler wife, a wobbler mother, a wobbler child. I want you to understand what is at stake. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Now, with 90% of African Americans who typically vote for Democrats, you may wonder, or some may wonder, why a Republican would bother to campaign in the African American community and to address the NAACP. One reason, of course, is that I hope to represent all Americans of every race, creed, and sexual orientation.
Now, wait a minute. What does sexual orientation have to do with the NAACP? Does anyone know? What is a creed? I know what it is. Why is he using such an antiquated word such as creed? I'm a fairly well-educated man. I've written a number of books. Creed? Creed? Creedence Clearwater Revival? What is he talking about? Was he lumping in sexual orientation and race and creed at the NAACP? Again, like all over the map. It's like, is it fresh? Yes, it's fresh frozen. That was the 70s. Now it's like green cleaners, and you get it back. It takes 2 years for the smell to... I used the green cleaner about a year ago. I had to hang it in the garage for a year. The smell wouldn't come out from the green cleaner. So I went back to the chemical cleaner. That took only 6 months for the smell to leave the clothing. If I use a regular cleaner, it's a six-monther in the garage till I can put it on my body without developing, like, eczema. Now, so I go to a green cleaner, which uses CO2, compressed gas, everything but an evil chemical. The smell is so overwhelming. The migraines, the skin blisters. It's like mustard gas they must use on this stuff. I had to hang it in the garage. The paint on my car almost blistered from it. That's green cleaning. So, you know, you don't know what you're getting anymore. That's why you buy clothing today that you can throw in a machine with some eco-friendly detergent that has no scent whatsoever. That's all. Now, what does it have to do with Romney? If you can't figure it out, don't ask me to explain it. 1-800-449-8255. Can we move on to another topic other than rice or corn? Just add water. Obama, Bush, Romney, rice, just add water. Texas, Stephen, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I have to say that I think Condoleezza Rice is the political, logical choice.
Tell
I'm
us why.
I'm not here to debate what she did or whether someone thinks she was good, tepid tea, or very good. But on paper, tell me who has as much experience as she does in the trenches.
Well, you raise a good point. She has attributes. She is not a candidate that's going to attract much attention, if that's what you mean. She's kind of a neutral bureaucrat.
Well, but at the same token, she doesn't offend women.
Now, you happen to be right. I asked a woman this morning who I respect, who I consider the brightest woman in the world, who could run the country better than Obama and Romney put together. I said, and she's a conservative. I said, what do you think about Rice as a pick? She said, I think it's a good choice. I said, why? She said, because she doesn't offend women. That's exactly what she said to me.
Dr. Rice will not talk over the president.
Okay, so that's interesting. And she's not the kind of woman who women would be offended by. In other words, she's not like one of the Democrat loudmouths from Brooklyn who live in Florida. You know what I'm saying? She's not like one of those Democrat hyphenated fake names from Boca Raton, Rat's Mouth. Aptly named, by the way, the good congresswoman from that area who I believe represents Rat's Mouth for good reason. Boca Raton, Rat's Mouth. Isn't that where she's from, Miss Hyphenated? Miss Hyphenated Big Mouth, who invested in Swiss banks while attacking Romney for investing in Swiss banks? Miss Hyphen? See, that kind of woman makes everyone crazy. No one likes her. No one likes that kind of woman. The mother never liked her. The father didn't like her. So why the constituents vote for her is only because she sends out the freebies and increases, you know, the bennies to the people in the Century Village. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that Condoleezza Rice is a polite, nice academician. I don't know what else to say. Doesn't excite me at all. Establishment pick, old line, safe, checked skirt Republican, Bohemian Grove. Definitely would be invited to Bohemian Grove. Definitely part of the establishment. Doesn't mean she's bad. I don't know what to say. I mean, if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. Certainly better than the crypto Marxist in the White House. I don't even want to say crypto. I mean, to me, I didn't call him crypto. He's a naked Marxist. Openly, his policies are Marxist. Well, what do you mean crypto? Crypto means hidden. Tell me what's hidden about his Marxism. Which part of it is hidden? The man has dissolved our border with Mexico. He has granted amnesty to well over 1.2 million illegal aliens. He has used executive privilege to hide the papers that may show his direct involvement with the gun smuggling to Mexico. I mean, What more do you need to know? If Romney would only articulate these defects, you know, the election's right around the corner. You think it's like forever? No, it isn't. It's like tomorrow. It's already mid-July, late July. Thing is, it's almost here. July, August, September, boom, election. But it's already, you know, an hour and a half into the coffee, caffeine, banana, and the lag is hitting now. The sign curve already is on the downside. Now already you're going to get the depressing side, you know, the swing job. Because if I have one more coffee right now, I'll be in the emergency room tonight after the after the show. I can't do another caffeine. I love the guys who can, like, sip the what do you call them? I knew a guy the other day. He had six. I was in New York. I don't even want to mention who. Six espressos in the period I was with him. Two when he met me. What does that tell you about him? Two before the meeting and two during the meeting of another. Six espressos he had in one, like, six-hour period. I would be, like, off the charts, like a fry job. I'm still like a kid inside. It means I'm healthy. I mean, when the plane almost went down, and you don't want to hear a heartbreak? Remember I told you I was on the plane coming back, a private plane, and about an hour into the flight, the masks came down, and there was a guy started to pray and this and that. I looked at the pilot. Did you miss that story when I came back? Came back on a friend's plane. Beautiful plane. Just as I got out the turkey sandwich and I said, all right, I'll take a Bex. I'm not one of these guys who needs the stewardess on the plane and his fancy meal. Who can eat? So I got the turkey sandwich and a beer. Give me a beer, I said. Just as the beer came out, I took a sip. My head started to hurt, like the compression. And I didn't know why. I thought it was the beer, so I stopped drinking. I looked forward into the cabin. They had masks on. It looked like Jimmy Stewart and you know, like bombing mission in World War II. They had the masks on, the pilots. I thought they were training. So I put the beer down. I put down the sandwich. I get up from the seat. I walk forward. And I say, are you running through a test? He says, get back in your seat. Put your mask on. We have an emergency. I almost died. Run back. All the masks are dangling on the private plane. It wasn't a test. This is not a test. This is not a test. Lights are beeping. We put the masks on. There are only three of us on. Mrs. S. is crying. My son is holding her hand. I get out a prayer card. I start to pray. I felt nothing. I felt absolutely nothing other than sadness for my son. You know, my life, I figured I've led a good life already. What can I do? It's inevitable anyway. What are you going to do? I mean, one day it's going to happen. I hope I don't know it. But I felt nothing. So the thing is, I was on a Gulfstream. Exactly that model crashed today in France. Not that plane. I don't believe this. I don't believe this. G4s have never crashed. They're an incredible plane. They're a workhorse. You could rip your heart out if you take a look at that plane in France. It's like upside down. It looks like a whale that got shot. Looks like a whale sent a shot by a harpoon and rolled over and broke in half. Why? Crashed on landing in France? Go explain it. The world is in a strange place right now. Strange things are happening. Things that never would have happened, couldn't happen, won't happen, are happening to people. Everybody I know is going through something that they couldn't believe would be going on. Something's going on in the world right now. Do I know why? Everyone has something horrible going on out of nowhere right now. Even people I know are super successful are being plagued by something. And I'm worried about whether to get eco-cleaning or a regular cleaner with the clothing from the trip. Because that's, you know, there's a wisdom in that. See, there's a wisdom in that. Like, when I was growing up and I was looking for, like, the path through life, I read so widely. And one of the things I read was, like, the Zen of this, the Zen of that. And I read that the Japanese, the older Japanese, would rake sand. I mean, the older guys, they had already had their money and they're retired. Like, one of their hobbies, they had a little garden in their backyard. They got out a rake and they raked sand. They made it, like, a nice pattern. All day long, they raked sand. Now, you say, like, what, are they crazy? But that's the equivalent of doing something that makes no sense in terms of productivity, but makes sense in terms of sending a harmony into your brain, right? Raking sand. And then eventually time came, they sold little boxes with sand and a little rake for people who wanted to do that little Zen thing in their house. No one sells that anymore. Today everyone walks around with an iPhone. You get in an elevator, and the girls immediately pull out an iPhone. I noticed the behavior. The girls, the guys, 20s, 30s, right away, get out the iPhone, start moving the finger around. It's equivalent of reaching for a cigarette. It's like Chesterfield, like opening the pack, tearing the foil, tapping it, pulling out the cigarette, getting out the lighter, same thing. But they think it's different. It's just nervous energy. They're nervous. It's a way of expressing nervousness, moving the finger around on a little device in the elevator. No one talks. Are you kidding? What if a young guy sees a woman he likes in an elevator? She already got the finger on the iPhone, and she goes home and wonders why she can't meet anybody. The guy could scream, hey, you're gorgeous. You want to go out on a date? She's got the finger on the iPhone. How could you meet anyone if you're looking at an iPhone with your ears plugged up? I say to myself as I look in as though I'm in Brobbingdang. You know what I'm saying? Brobbingdang. You know, read Brobbingdang. You know? Gulliver's Travels. Savage's Travels. Green cleaners. Chemical cleaners. Oatmeal cookies. Oatmeal cookies. Teddy's not with me. Teddy's not with me. Teddy's not here. Like, I was away, so he was with the dog care person. Irene. God bless you, Irene. Right? I come back, I get Teddy first thing that night. So I'm like exhausted from the trip, so he's exhausted. You know dogs are big mimics. They're like Charlie Chaplin. Whatever you are, they are. He wasn't tired. He's a healthy young dog, but because I was like dragged out, he was tired already. I was eating a lot. For some reason, I eat a lot after a trip. God knows, he ate a lot. Normally, he doesn't like breakfast. He's not like a breakfast guy. He's just a coffee and a cigarette kind of dog, but he doesn't want to eat in the morning. I'm a standard bagel guy. I love a bagel in the morning with the fake nun butter, you know, that stuff.
Savage.